Good morning. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9, we're going to look at verses 9 and 10. But we will be talking about several different scriptures this morning as we talk about education in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. I'll read these and then we will get into our introduction. So Proverbs says, instruct the wise and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous and they will add to their learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. So you see what that verse says. Instruct the wise and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous and they will add to their learning. You know what that is? That's education. They will add to their learning. And then verse number 10 is very important. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So my sermon today is titled, We Do Need an Education. It's not going to be earth-shattering, my 3 points. It's going to be something we all know. But sometimes we don't take time to think about it. So Roger Waters, co-founder of the rock band Pink Floyd, wrote his famous song, Another Brick in the Wall, Part 2, about the abuse he felt in his educational experience. And I'm sorry, children. It's a weekend. Some of you, it's a week and a half into school. This sermon should have happened a couple of weeks ago, so we could properly not go to school. But his song has these words to it. We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control. No dark sarcasm in the classroom. Teacher, leave those kids alone. Hey, teacher, leave those kids alone. All in all, it's just another brick in the wall. All in all, you're just another brick in the wall. It's sad he had a very dramatic educational experience. That's not good for children to have an educational experience that where they feel like they've been mistreated. That's why I wrote this song. So it's a little late, children, but Monday morning, tomorrow morning, if you don't want to go to school, all gather here at the church. Now, I'm going to be at my job working. I'm not going to be here to lead you. I'm just kidding. You have to go to school tomorrow. Because we do need an education. We do need an education. So on Thursday, this past Thursday, August 21st, 2025, Dr. James Dobson died at the age of 89. Some of you might not be familiar with Dr. Dobson. We truly lost one of the most influential men of God in our lifetime. He helped mold our thinking on everything it takes to truly live out biblical family values in the face of a culture that is rejecting them every day. He wrote a ton of books. He wrote a book called The Strong-Willed Child. He wrote a book about parenting. He wrote a book about boys. He wrote a book about girls. If you don't have a Dr. Dobson book, you need to pick one up. One of his most famous earlier books was The Dare to Discipline, talking about how parents can biblically discipline their children. They need discipline, but it needs to be done biblically. But listen to what he said. And by the way, he will be in our sermon in a couple of different places today. Listen to what Dr. Dobson said. Those who control what young people are taught and what they experience, what they see, hear, think, believe, will determine the future course for the nation. That's how powerful education is. That's how powerful educators are. And we have several teachers in our congregation, and I admire you. Every day you go and have an impact on young people. And it is something that is very valuable. It's one of the most important things that our young people can get in life. Matter of fact, that's point number one. Education is one of the most important things that a person can obtain. One of the most important things that a person can obtain. So that's just in general education. So if education is one of the most important things that a person can obtain, it goes to reason that a spiritual education is therefore even more important. Education in general will determine who you become in this life. Who you are as a person, what occupation you will do, the people you'll interact with, the places you go. All of it, a lot of times, is connected with the education you receive. But to a certain degree, education sometimes can be just limited to this world. But on the other side of that coin, a spiritual education is eternal. The things you use as a Christ follower to equip yourself spiritually will last for an eternity. The people you influence, the people you encourage, the people that you help spiritually educate will last in eternity. That's why not only education is one of the most important things, spiritual education is one of the most important things. And the book of Proverbs, all throughout the book, talks about the importance of spiritual education. All throughout the book of Proverbs, there's verses. All throughout the Bible, there's verses. So we're going to talk about several different verses. And a lot of these I already have written down, so you just need to listen to the verse as I read it. Proverbs 4:13 says this, "Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life." It's interesting. I had to look this up. There's kind of a saying, give me your child until they're 7 years old, and then then you can have them back because I've already have influenced them. I will have already changed them. Aristotle might have said it first, but then there was also another gentleman that was a Jesuit priest that he's also accredited as saying it. Aristotle said basically, let me see a kid and how they are at the age of 7 and I'll show you the man. Proverbs says, hold on to instruction, don't let it go, for it is your life. This is a sad situation. But when the Babylonians would come in and conquer a people, they would immediately take all the educated back to Babylon and just leave the uneducated in the land. More modern times. Now, the Babylonians would actually use the educated in their kingdom. Story from the book of Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, became prominent in the Babylonian kingdom because of this practice. Unfortunately, what some of the communists would do when it was the old Soviet Union, when they would go in and take over a country, they would take all the educated, the teachers, the doctors, the lawyers, all the educated people, they would take them and send them to Siberia. You know why? Because education is so important. And those who are educated has a different view on how to live life. Those who are spiritually educated has a Christ-like view on how to live life. That's why Solomon says, hold on to instruction. Don't let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Proverbs 16:16. Listen to this, guys. How much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight rather than silver? You know, Solomon had that choice. God came to Solomon. He said, Solomon, you're fixed to be king of Israel. I'll give you anything you want. We all have seen movies and stories about that. You know, Aladdin's lamp. This actually happened. God came to Solomon. Whatever you want, Solomon, blank check. Now, the young people, they would love to have a blank check. What do you want, Solomon? Blank check. And Solomon said, Solomon was young at the time. He's probably maybe late teens, early 20s. He's like, God, I'm fixing to be king over Israel. I need your wisdom. And God's like, you got it. You got my wisdom. And because you asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you everything else. Solomon said wisdom is way more important than gold, than money. Get insight rather than silver. You know, you have to have money to live, but it's not the most important thing in life. Education is, a spiritual education. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So somebody that is foolish, they can't stand wisdom and instruction. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me how to run my life. I don't need to hear it from you. Listen to Proverbs 18:15. The heart of the discerning acquires knowledge, for the ears of the wise seek it out. So The heart of the discerning acquires knowledge. The ears of the wise seek it out. Proverbs 9:9. Instruct the wise and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous and they will add to their learning. We read that verse earlier. Add to their learning. Okay, young people, I think point one shows that we should go to school tomorrow. And then also I think you should understand you should listen to your teachers as they teach. Not just be there, but also listen. Also, Sunday school is important. Also, something that's starting up in September is important. Discovery groups, where you can become more spiritually educated to learn more about the Word of God. So don't miss out on these opportunities because it's important. It determines the person who you become. It determines the influence that you have in life. Number two. It's only 11:30 and we're already at point number two. The most important spiritual educators in a child's life, wait for it, I know you're going to be surprised, are the parents. Or the predominant parental figure if one or both parents are not present. The most important spiritual educators in the child's life are the parents. Or the predominant parental figure if one or both parents are not present. Mom and dad most of the time are with their kids day in and day out. 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 They're going to have the most influence on their kids because they're with them more than anybody else. I'm sorry, children, you have to be with your parents more than anybody else. Oh, man, I'd much rather be with my friends all the time. And let me also say that, young people, your parents love you. And they care for you, but they are not your friend. They're your parent. And they're going to treat you like a parent. They're not going to just give you whatever you want like your friends do. So the most important spiritual educator in a child's life are the parents. Or somebody that might not have one or both parents. It's whoever that other person is in their life. And I really admire parents who are single parents. And it's hard enough when you have a mom and dad with the children, but when you're doing it by yourself, it's really hard. It's really challenging. You're really stretched in a lot of different directions. And I really admire you for your determination and your zeal to make sure your children are taught and raised to follow Christ and to be educated in general. So listen to Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. This is like the education verse in the book of Proverbs. It's been misunderstood a lot throughout the years, so I want to hopefully help you understand it. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he grows older, he will not abandon it. That's the New American Standard Version. I really like the word train in the verse. And for some reason or another, NIV didn't have train. So train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he grows older, he will not abandon it. It's interesting. A lot of times we think that, if we train a child when they're younger, then this is a promise that they're never going to do anything wrong the rest of their life. There's two things wrong with that. First of all, this is a proverb of wisdom. When you read the Proverbs, you need to understand this is based on us making choices that God wants us to make. This is based on us choosing godly choices. So it's not a, hey, you can take it to the bank promise from God that if you raise your children right, they're going to turn out great and be perfect. That's not what this verse is saying. The second thing to take into consideration when you think about this verse, so I need all the young people to not listen right now, okay? Just don't listen. They have a free will just like an adult. Young people, they have a free will. Okay, you can start listening. They have a free will. We would love to make all of our children's choices for them and say, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. I got it all laid out for you. You're going to think this, you're going to act like this. I mean, you know, we would love to do that. And then we program them in, and then there they go. You can buy a robot these days for $6,000. $6,000, I'm sure they'll finance it for you. So if you want a robot, $6,000, it'll do exactly what you want. Parents, I'm sorry. Your child has a free will. And sometimes their free will and your free will doesn't get along together. They have the ability to make right choices. They have the ability to make wrong choices. That is why when you read this verse, you can do all the training, you can do everything right, and they still could grow up and make poor decisions, make poor choices. It's interesting. So this is from Dr. Dobson again. He was doing an interview. This is page 4, Susanna, at the top. He was doing an interview. Listen to what he said. A person's conscience is largely a gift from his parents. I'm going to stop, make sure everybody knows what their conscience is. Everybody knows what their conscience is? It's that thing in your head that says, I shouldn't do this. 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 And then you do it anyway, and your conscience says, oh, you shouldn't have done it. 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 She shouldn't have done it. That's what your conscience is. A person's conscience, back to Dr. Dobson's quote, a person's conscience is largely a gift from his parents. From their training and instructions and approval and disapproval, the way that right and wrong are taught throughout the first decade of life will never completely be forgotten, even though it may be contradicted later. So in other words, parents, you're teaching your child, you're training them, and at some point in their life, they're like, mom and dad, they didn't know what they were talking about. I'm going to do my own thing. They won't admit it to you, mom and dad, but at some point, especially one day down the road when they get their own kids, they're going to say, mom and dad were right. They don't want to admit that, their pride. I'm right, I know what I'm doing, I make my own choices, and in the inside, like, man, I can't believe how mom and dad knew what they were talking about. I should have listened to them. This is a very neat illustration Dr. Dobson gives. A little gosling, it's a baby goose, has a peculiar characteristic that is relevant at this point. Now listen to this. This is so fascinating. Shortly after he hatches from his shell, he will become attached or imprinted to the first thing that he sees moving near him. So the little baby gosling comes out of his shell, and the very first thing that's moving around, he imprints on. Let me go back to the quote. From that time forward, he will follow that particular object when it moves in his vicinity. Ordinarily, he becomes imprinted to the mother goose who was on hand to hatch the new generation. Listen to this. This is fascinating. If she is removed, however, the gosling will settle for any mobile substitute, whether alive or not. They did some studies on this. In fact, a gosling will become imprinted most easily to a blue football bladder dragged by on a string. So basically, just it's a football on a string. I don't know what a blue bladder is. It's a football on a string. A week later, he will fall in line behind the football as it scoots by him. So if this little baby goose sees a football the very first time he comes out of his shell, he's going to follow the football. Now, ladies, this time of the year, your husband is like that little baby goose. The football comes out, and here we go. The key is, ladies, you grab hold of the football cord, and then you can control where your husband goes. Anyway, that's free advice. Back inside the quote. I'm sorry, Susanna. Time, listen to this. Time is the critical factor in this process. The gosling is vulnerable to imprinting for only a few seconds after he hatches from the shell. If that opportunity is lost, it cannot be regained later. In other words, there is a critical brief period in the life of the gosling when this instinct learning is possible. Man. Now, parents, grandparents, a good thing is you don't have just a few seconds with your children. It's not like a baby, they're not a baby goose. But that just shows us, Dr. Dobson's making the point, how critical it is in the lives of our young people as parents and as grandparents, as children that we are around as Christ followers that we have an influence on, that we teach them the right thing so they will have a spiritual education. Listen to what Deuteronomy 6:4 says. Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments I give you today, they are to be on your hearts. And we've read these verses over and over and over and over again. You've heard them a lot. D6. Listen to verse number 7. Impress them on your children. Impress them on your children. That's called imprinting them. Now, let me talk to the parents for a minute. You have to have them impressed on your heart first before you can imprint them on anybody else. It has to be in our heart before we can put it into their heart. Very, very important. And that's what the Word of God teaches us. That's the way God created us. Matter of fact, that's why God gave us His image. We are created in God's image. That's why we have a conscience. And then finally, number 3, our spiritual education is dependent on the guidance from the Holy Spirit. Okay, parents, everyone, you can say, whew. It's not just what I'm doing. I've got some help. We all have help. Whoever the young people that you are around in your life, God comes alongside you to help you, to help teach them the things they need, to teach them the things they need to learn from the Bible. That's why we come to church every Sunday. We all come to worship God, fellowship with each other, but also encourage each other to learn the things we need to learn to become the people that we need to become. And we are guided by the Holy Spirit. That's the neat thing about a spiritual education. God is there to guide us. He gave us His Bible. He gave us His Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. When Jesus was telling His disciples, hey, I'm fixing to go to heaven and leave you, they're like, oh, wait a minute, hold on, we're not ready. He's like, wait, guys. I don't know if Jesus would use this word, but he'd probably, just chill. Just hold on a minute. Just wait. I'm saying a lot of different phrases so Susanna can pick the right idiom that will translate into Spanish. Just wait a minute. I'm going, but I'm going to send a guy, the Holy Spirit. He's going to be right inside you. This is one thing I do not understand about when we become a Christ follower. I'm not alone. There's a lot of theologians that don't understand it. When you become a Christ follower, let's review just for a second. It's 11:45. We got a minute. Let's review. How do you become a Christ follower? That's important. When you realize that you have sin in your life and you're not perfect. So you don't have to raise your hand, but, you know, all of us that have sin in our life and we've done things that we shouldn't do, we all would raise our hands. Yes, you can raise your hand. That's fine. We're imperfect. So we have sin in our life. What are we going to do with it? Sin, the payment of sin is really bad. It's eternity away from God in hell. So what are we going to do with our sin? Jesus died on the cross, and He took our sin, He took our punishment, and He gives us forgiveness. So you come to Christ and you say, Jesus, I am so sorry. I am such a sinner. I have done so many things wrong, and you say, please forgive me. And if you have the heart that's truly sorry for what you did wrong, and you ask Christ, you know what Jesus will say? Every single time, He'll say, I forgive you. I forgive you. So you ask Christ to forgive you, and then something neat happens. He takes all your sin, and He wipes the slate clean, and then He gives you His righteousness. And then the Holy Spirit comes to live in our heart. I don't understand it. Everywhere I go, everywhere I'm at, the Holy Spirit is inside of me because I'm a Christ follower, and that's what Christ said would happen. And it's the same with you. So wherever you go in your life, the Holy Spirit is there to guide you, to help you make right decisions, to help you develop the spiritual education that you need. Listen to some verses. Proverbs 2:6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. That's the Bible. You read the Bible, it's a book of wisdom. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. For the Lord gives wisdom, from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Listen to John 16:13. This is Jesus talking to His disciples. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, everybody listen, He will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak His own word. Let me re-say that. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. The Holy Spirit will guide us. But we need to listen to Him. We need to rely on Him for our decision making. Listen to John 14:26. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. The Holy Spirit will teach you. So you read the Bible, the Holy Spirit will help you to understand it. More importantly, you read the Bible, the Holy Spirit will help you live it out. But you have to allow the Holy Spirit to control you and to guide you. It's very, very important that you allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. Listen to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. This is a really good couple of verses. Very familiar. When I start reading it, you're like, oh, I've heard that before. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, here comes a big S word, in all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. Let me read it again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. So submit in Spanish might not be an S word, but whatever word it is, submit is hard for us to do. It's interesting. The first song we sang that our worship team picked out for us, The Battle Belongs to the Lord. If you are going to follow God, if you are going to become the person that God wants all of us to be, if we are going to not only educate ourselves, but spiritually educate ourselves, it is going to be a battle. You're going to have to fight your old nature, first of all. You have to fight yourself. And then you also have to fight the devil. Did you know he's a real thing? The devil is real. And the Bible tells us the devil is like a lion. He wants to eat you. That's true. It says it right there in the Bible. I think it's in Peter. The devil is a roaring lion. He wants to devour you. He doesn't want you to become the person God wants you to become. But the neat thing is, God gives us the Holy Spirit to help control our old nature. God gives us, through His power, the ability to say no to the devil, resist him. You don't have any say-so in my life, devil. And be able to make the right choice. To be able to make the right decision. When it comes down to it, education is this. Having the knowledge and understanding in any given situation to be able to make the right choice. I'm really glad that doctors have to go to school for a long time, aren't you? When they're fixing to maybe do some cutting on you, all of their education that they have learned comes in that moment, so they know exactly where to cut and what to do to make you feel better. It's the same way with the spiritual education. You've got the Bible. You've got the Holy Spirit. You've got direct access to God 24/7. We have all of these things that we can spiritually educate ourselves on. So next week, when we're in a situation where we are being very heavily tempted to make a wrong choice, we can say, you know what, I'm not going to do it. You know what, I'm going to walk away from this. I'm not going to listen to the devil. I'm not going to listen to myself. Most time it's your own self. We blame a lot of stuff on the devil when it's a lot of time it's just us. But all of that goes into you making the right choice. And choices have eternal consequences. Choices have eternal consequences. My mom has a little quote on her refrigerator, and we'll finish with this. She's got a little quote on her refrigerator, and I've read it so many times. And she didn't say, hey, read it. It says, the decisions I make today will affect my tomorrow. And that's so true when it comes to living the Christian life. The choices and decisions I make today will affect my tomorrow and all the people around me. Let's pray. Lord, it is so hard sometimes to live this life for you. There's just so many things out there that wants to distract us. There's so many things out there that wants us to not follow you. It's so hard being a parent. It's hard being a grandparent. It's hard being an influencer in the lives of the children that are around us. We just pray that you will help us to understand the value of education, but also of spiritual education, so that we can become the whole person that you intended us to be, that we can equip ourselves to live our life in the vocations that we choose and the places we go and the decisions that we make to have an impact, influence on this world. And we just pray that you'll be with these young people as they're going to school, be with the teachers as they are working really hard, and all the parents. Help them to have the wisdom to be able to imprint on these young people the values that you want them to have, the education and the knowledge and the understanding that you want them to have. And we ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.